Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of EuroHoop's official podcast, EuroHoop Pod. As usual, I'm Antonis Strogilakis and I'm joined by my great, great colleague Cesare Milanti. Buonasera, Cesare. I got that right again, I hope. And the accent.
Kalispera. Kalispera.
Yep, truly. And our guest for today, he's a player that is widely considered to be one of the top forwards in the EuroLeague right now since last year. Actually, he's one of the most prominent players of powerhouse Fenerbahce Beko. He's actually the second highest scorer and rebounder of Fener right now in the EuroLeague, while his team is flirting with the top four in the standings. He's a big fan favorite among Fener supporters. He's a traveler, a hot dog grilling devices innovator, it seems, and overall one of the most interesting personalities among EuroLeague players. Nigel Hayes-Davies, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day, thinking I'm worth interviewing. Happy to be here. Hopefully this goes swimmingly well. pardon if my gaze is averted. My cat is, I'm making sure he's not scratching the blinds, but he's he's being a little bit rambunctious right now. But thanks so much.
He's an attention seeker, your cat.
He is.
He is like any cat. So, out of all these descriptions I used to introduce you, hot dog grill innovator, one of the best forwards in the EuroLeague right now, fan favorite, traveler, which one do you like the most? Be honest.
Which one do I like the most?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to make it to where you say an unanimous best forward in the EuroLeague, so I still have work to do. But, yeah, I mean, all the things I do, sometimes I think that people underestimate the amount of the seriousness I still put into basketball. You know, everyone sees, oh, he's traveling, he's doing this, he's doing that, but focus is always basketball. But
yeah,
did a fantastic job. Very excellent introduction. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I like it.
I will use
well.
That as a trailer for our next show. Let's talk basketball then, Nigel. Fenerbahce, you are 15-10 and tied for the fourth best record in EuroLeague after going 9-3 over the last 12 games and specifically after Sarunas Yaskevicius took over. Can you make us an assessment of how things are for Fenerbahce right now? What do you think the team's potential looks like at this part of the season?
I refrain from saying big things or, you know, stirring pots or anything like that. But I think our record for sure could be better. There's at least 4 or 5 games that we gave away that we had complete control over, or if not complete control, we gave ourselves an opportunity to win, and we had, you know, the game was in our favor for a comfortable amount of time, and we gave some of those away. So we definitely, probably like a lot of other teams, feel like we could definitely have a better record, be in a higher spot, but you are where you are. So we're just trying to learn and continue to improve. And as far as me personally, is trying to get to my groove back. I felt like I was playing, not felt I was, playing very great basketball. I was in a very good rhythm. And then the injury occurred, so I'm trying to, you know, get back to where I left off.
You talked about this injury, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, of course, last year you played in all the games of Fenerbahce, and in the playoffs you were averaging something like 38 minutes. There was, in game 4, you played 40 minutes. This was the first time that you miss these several weeks because of an injury in the last couple of years.
I can't remember the last time I missed games because of an injury.
Truly.
I don't know if it's ever happened.
Oh, wow. How weird was that for you, experiencing this for the first time?
You know, life's all about your experiences. Whether they're good or bad, that's what makes you you. That's what makes life fun and enjoy to live. But it's not one I want to do again, that's for sure. But it was good to be on the other side. You know, everything that happens is good. And I was able to, you know, watch the guys from the sideline and see what certain guys do, what certain guys don't do, where certain guys could use help in certain situations, and then just analyzing what I know I bring and my role is, and see what I felt the team could use and could need when I return. So it was a great learning process, even though, again, unfortunate it happened, and I definitely don't need to experience it again.
Yeah. And speaking about other guys, you recently traveled to France for games on the road against ASVEL and Monaco. I have one question. We were really interested in that. Did Amine Nouah pay for dinner?
No, he didn't. Oh
He
my gosh.
didn't? That's
No,
scandalous.
he has an excuse. He has an excuse. His family was there. So he was a little busy being a father and a husband, and you always get a clean slate with that one. So he still holds dinner. He does. He just got destroyed in ping pong today too, by the way.
Oh,
Oh,
oh my
it was a
God.
massacre.
That's sad
Massacre.
for him.
The guy's not good. So he, for losing that bad, he definitely owes dinner. So we'll get it sooner or later.
It looks like he's good in basketball, though. What do you think about
Yeah,
his introduction in?
he's been a tremendous addition. It was needed. I don't know what happened or what Fenner did wrong, but to lose like four or five guys who play the four and three, just one after the other, was insane. So it was good for him to come and help us and still be a part of it. He's a good guy. Brings size, rebounding, shooting. Obviously, he's played in EuroLeague before, so he knows what he's doing. He knows the opponents, knows what's expected of him. So yeah, no, he's been a pleasure to the team. You know, great locker room guy as well, except, you know, dodging paying for dinner. Other than that, though, he's been great.
Well, he may not have an excuse to do that this week if you guys leave Athens with a win over Panathinaikos. A big game for you, the upcoming game, the upcoming EuroLeague game. You guys are tied. You have the same record, and this result may be decisive in the battle for the top four and the home court advantage, maybe. So, how do you approach this game? What are your thoughts about this match against a team that before that loss at Žalgiris? It was described as one of the top two teams in EuroLeague by some people.
It's a very important game, just like obviously, as you know, every EuroLeague game is because of the point system and then trying to get home court advantage. So it's gonna, we know that the stakes are going to be very high. We've already heard rumblings, especially from our Greek insider, Yorgos, that the game's probably sold out and the environment's going to be amazing. So it'll be even more on us to go, hey, guys. We'd much rather play with our crowd doing this than play with their crowd
Yeah,
cheering for
sorry
them.
to interrupt you, but it's definitely sold out. It's been sold out 4 days ago, so
Oh, really?
yeah.
Oh, well, it's always better to play basketball games in front of fans. But no, it's going to be a great game. Obviously, they're a tough team. It's unimportant where someone ranks a team in February or January. You know, because no one, at least to my knowledge, has ever won EuroLeague in January or February. So there's more basketball to be played.
Sure.
And we go one game at a time. Our next opponent is Pana. And we just try to do our best. You know, if we can stick to Fenerbahce game plan, keep our guys on the court, play solid, we feel we always have a chance with who with whoever we play. But it's up to us to control what happens in between the lines.
Yeah. And we just talked about Pana. Moving on to another Greek powerhouse, you had one of the most interesting series of last year playoffs against Olympiakos. So what lesson did you take from that experience, such an intense battle with them on the court? And what did they add to your experience as a basketball player in the EuroLeague? Because you played EuroLeague playoffs before, but this was the first
Of
time that you
course.
had such a prominent and big role in a series.
The biggest lesson is, so there's a saying everyone knows. It's called cliche. Someone goes, oh, that's cliche. Well, things are cliche for a reason because they're true. And the cliche phrase I'm going to use to describe the Olympiacos series is that one mistake can lose a game for you, Or another cliche, when the coaches in Europe go, every point matters, is another
They do.
cliche and it's
They
accurate.
do.
And there's one play and one play only that sticks out in my mind, and it's four possessions in a row. Do you know what it is? You're nodding like you know what it is. What is it?
Yeah, like
I
you
would know.
forget.
I was you surprised me. I was thinking that you would go with a Slukas buzzer beater. So you
No, no, no,
surprised
no,
me
no, no.
pleasantly. Yeah.
No, 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 no. The play that haunts me and whoever haunt me in that series is Tarik Black probably scored three or four
Okay.
times in a row on switches against our guards. And we have a 2-point lead, maybe. And I go, man, I at least bump him, Nigel. The game plan was to not help off of Sasha, which is a game plan that worked tremendously. And for half a second, I bumped Tarik Black, and Sasha shot the ball from the top of the key and put them up one. And the reason that's huge is because if he misses that shot or he doesn't get it off because I'm next to him, we win that game and we win that series. But I helped, gave Sasha a shot, Marco hit a shot and left time. And the Sluka is saying you can't control luck, you just threw the ball up. But like, I can control the attention to detail, which was stay next to Sasha while he's on the court. And for half a second, I bumped and he hit a three. And that play is the one that won them the game.
You're still talking about game three, if I'm not mistaken. It was
Yes, that's,
that was
yeah.
it. Yeah, because I remember the sequence. I remember specifically that 3-pointer at the key by Vezenkov.
Yep, at the top of the key, because we played, we were better 3 games in a row, but we only got 2 wins from it.
Yeah.
And the one win that they got was game three with the Slukas shot. But that's not the shot that won the game. It's the Vezenkov three that won the game. So that's the biggest thing I took away, is that it is this close, you know. We gave home court away. We stole a game and gave it back the next game. So, but that happens. Beautiful sport.
Sorry, Nigel. Sorry. I completely lost connection. So I don't know what you guys said. So I don't if you don't mind repeating
Oh.
the like when I lost you when you said we were this close.
Oh yeah, I said it was a game of inches. That's how close it was. I closed out, but as quick as he shoots the ball, just like that, you know, the ball's up, the ball's in, and they're up, and you know, they feel like they can win. Because if we would have gotten that stop, we would have won. We stole home court and we gave it back the next game. So that's the biggest takeaway from that one, is it is literally, you know, one play can change an entire game.
Sure.
Fenerbahce came this close to the Final Four, as you said, and the team hasn't been in the Final Four since 2019. Okay, 2020 was the COVID season, but then 2021, 22, and last year, Fenerbahce doesn't make the Final Four. And that's a big desire, it's a big ambition for the team, for the fans, for everyone to make it again to the Final Four. How much do you feel this desire from the fans, from the organization, from you guys? How is the situation right now with how much do you people want to go to the Final Four? Is it more intense than ever, perhaps?
Everyone wants to go to the Final Four, obviously, but it's more about steps and in the process, you know. I have a on my YouTube, I have a YouTube channel, it's called Enjoy the Walk, and it's from a I saw a quote somewhere. It was like, the man who enjoys walking will go further than the man who enjoys the destination. So everybody wants to get to the Final Four. But you need to enjoy the games that lead to the Final Four. And when you
Sure.
walk and you enjoy game two, game 12, game 22, and you do all you need to do, when you look up, you'll be at a Final Four. So for us, it's just worrying about taking care of ourselves. I know there's a lot of talk of what is this standings? Check these standings. Did this team win? Did that team win? Just worry about yourself. If you win your games, you don't ever have to check who else is winning or losing, because it doesn't matter. And that's kind of the mindset I take And so just focus on what can Nadja do to be better. Good, he did it. And then what can Nadja do during games to help his team win and try to make sure I do that. And then, like I said, we take care of the wins we need to. We take care and play the basketball we know we're capable of. Stay healthy. You know, we have a great chance to get to a Final Four.
And Nigel, you played that great playoff series, and also the last part of the domestic league, of course, with Coach Dimitris Itoudis. Halfway through this season, Fener decided to change head coaching position, bringing in Charas. Talking about the team system and the philosophy behind the how the team is organized right now. What differences can you see between the two, between last season experience, this season with Coach Itoudis, and this season with Charas as well?
You want the difference between last year with Itoudis and this year with Charas?
Yeah, also this season
Basically,
with Coach
the
Itoudis as
differences
well.
between the two when it comes to their philosophy, their system, the way they
Okay.
run things on the team.
One coaches with a wooden stick, and one coaches with a lot of praise and freedom, and they've both had success. I mean, Itoudis has won as a coach. You know, Itoudis has won his Euro leagues, and you know, Nadja does his best. Charles will get one too, but yeah, Charles coaches with a, you know, this is the system, this is the plan.
Okay.
Do it
So
that
Saras
way.
is the one with the stick. Okay.
Yes. And do it and watch the results that happen. And Itoudis, obviously you're speaking to me, so this is my perspective. Itoudis was more like, you know, here's the game plan, here's what we're gonna do. Now, while you're out there, things may happen. You may have a feeling, something may go this way, the flow may be that. You know, I trust you to adapt. And if he didn't trust you, he wouldn't play you, or he wouldn't tell you that, you know. So like you being on the court and you being in positions to create the game, play the game, experience the game, evolve within the game, you know, he's given that to you. And the what you can say about that is that it proves no one coach's system is the best, because every coach has their own philosophy.
Sure.
And what needs to be done is whatever team you're on, what part of group you're on, whoever you're playing for, is that you do what is asked of you. You do your best, and then you look at the results at the end of the day. If the results are favorable, players stay, coaches stay. If they're even great, championships are won, banners are hung, and all the good things. If it's not, then you know there's repercussions to that. That's something we experienced with the coaching change, and I wouldn't say that it was Itoudis' fault at all, but you know, it's just it's unfortunate how it went, especially to a coach of that caliber. But as I've said, and as Charis mentioned when he came, is that hey, in life things happen, and as a
Of course,
professional, you
of
know, you
course.
gotta be professional. And you gotta continue to move forward and continue to fulfill obligations you have with the contract, fulfill obligations to yourself, to continue to take care of your family and everything. So that's what we've been doing, you know, that's what we've been trying to do, and that's all we can do.
I can't help but ask, since you mentioned that, is Ernest Skevicius also different in comparison to the one you had at Barca? And I'm asking this because there was that sentiment that you were perhaps, how to say it, underused at Barcelona, that you didn't have the opportunity to show what you are able to do. And people began feeling that way when they saw what you can do when you have a bigger responsibility at Fenerbahce. When your performances had a jump at Fenerbahce, you had a bigger role, more responsibilities, more chances to show what you can do on the floor, more time with the ball in your hands, and you delivered. It seems like you were a totally different player. Is Saras a bit different also in comparison to the one you had at Barcelona?
Yes, he's different, but more importantly, I'm different, and Like I told you before, third time I'm saying it, everything that happens is good. In that year, no matter how on court statistically, performance wise, it was bad for me, it was a tremendous year of growth for me as an individual. The biggest takeaway I got from that is to be selfish and to focus on Nigel and to do what Nigel loves to do and what Nigel works his ass off to do. It's a very short list of people that work as hard as I do and put in the time that I do. And it's a shame to be in games and waste it, or not display it or not play like it or second guess yourself or doubt things or try to appease people. And that was the biggest thing I learned in Barcelona throughout that. And as I've gotten older, just as a man and growing through experience in life, it's less finger pointing and more me allowing myself to be in a situation and whatever happened is what happened. And now that I'm past that, I can look back, reflect on it, see what happened. I can see what happened. And I see why it would never happen again and what I can do to make sure that it doesn't. And then going forward, try to use the lessons you got, the new stuff you acquire, and continue to rise and be better than you are.
So we talked about improvements, we talked about change as a player, as a coach. We talked about, of course, Charas. We were impressed by a certain and significant improvement this season in your game, talking about three pointers, because we checking like you began the season with 13 out of 55 three pointers in the first 11 rounds of the regular season. Since round 12 against Baskonia, you are 17 out of 37. It means that the volume of shots has decreased, but also you've become more effective in that aspect, at least this season. Where do you attribute this improvement?
One is time. Sometimes people like the McDonald's drive-through, they want the food right then.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a sit-down restaurant. This year it was a sit-down restaurant. Got in there. Wasn't as good as I liked it, but slowly surely it's coming around. That's what happens sometimes. I would love to start perfectly. Of course, everybody would.
Of course.
If I started like that, I'd probably be in MVP conversations, but everything that happens is good. So, no, it's good. It's just just taking shots, taking them with more, I guess, assertiveness. And if anything, I probably should shoot more, especially if I'm shooting 17 for 37. I should shoot more of them, honestly. But, things happen. Maybe somebody else is hot, or maybe I didn't need to, or, there's no need to force. The force threes, and I probably shot more at the beginning because I
You did.
started off missing some, so teams stopped guarding me. So I probably was like, fuck, I'm open. I gotta shoot it.
That
You
you
guys are
did, yeah.
lucky I'm missing. Like I would tell my friends that I said it's people, teams are lucky I'm missing because when the ball starts going in,
So
you're gonna be
restaurant
able
wasn't that
to
good at the beginning of the season.
miss
You
them.
you're more of a drive-through guy.
I don't know, but I am happy that obviously that has turned around. But it's just a matter of sticking with the work, going in early, going late, having the trust in yourself. I saw a Gilbert Arenas video the other day that he talked about. Sometimes you make all your shots, sometimes you miss all your shots. But why would that matter? It shouldn't affect you. So I'm just trying to stay there, stay in that line. So hopefully we can keep those numbers going. Probably the goals we have, we get to where we want to go. They need to stay there or if not improve. So I'll do my best to make sure that happens.
Numbers wise, you are having the best season of your career. Okay, let's say more productive season of your career, because in Europe the best season has to be also combined with team success. So I would say the most productive season of your career. You are involved in every area of the game: points, rebounds, assists. You steal balls. You play defense. You are physical. You seem like a complete package. Not right now, since last year, it was obvious that you are the complete package on the for a forward. Which area of the game do you think that you need to work on still? I'm sure you may believe that for everything, but if you have to pinpoint at one aspect of the game.
I mean, I don't play pick and rolls, so I can't say that. I mean, not that I could, and I think my pick and roll numbers are great on Synergy, by the way. I think when I run a pick and roll, it's usually a basket. Not necessarily because I score it, but because I find the big guy. I feel like a 4-5 screen causes a lot of trouble.
The play overall is productive for the team, you mean?
Yeah, so I think, but or when the guard screen for me, that always works for us. Scotty does a great job of doing that. Nick as well. But biggest area of improvement. I don't know. I feel like I just like every player will sit here and tell you, yes, I always need to improve, and I do. But I feel like if I could just do what I'm doing now and just do it like a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? Like, for example, if I would have started off the season shooting like I am now, my points per game would be much higher. And like I said, we'd be having a different conversation. But because of the slow start from beyond the arc, my points per game is where it's at. So it's kind of like, oh, you're doing okay, you know? But just try to do that and be better. My trainer told me I need to work on playing at different speeds, change my pace up some more. Always definitely need to rebound more. I feel it shows when I have very good rebounding games, I usually produce well offensively. And that's always been my goal is to be first team on defense. It's kind of like our little team thing. Like, you know, Tony Allen's the inspiration behind that, is try to make sure that you win your defensive matchup. And if you approach the game, you know, first team on defense, try to rebound, play tough, cause trouble for the other team. You usually end up having a pretty good offensive game.
And preparing the interview, we were obviously checking also your Instagram feed, which is a good one.
A lot.
And like so far in 2024, you started a trend of using letters, right, for post.
You
So
picked up on that?
I picked up on that, yeah.
That's what he picks up on everything. Nothing escapes him.
Hats off
Also,
to you.
it's something that a band that I listen to does it somewhat in albums. They began their albums starting with A, second album is B, third album is C, etc., etc. The titles for their
Really?
albums. Yeah. So it also reminded me that it was interesting to see.
Yeah, also
Yo,
because what
impressed.
was it? I think it was the C one. Can't wait for Amin to pay dinner. Was that one right? Something like that.
That was
That
Amin
was
and the dinner. That has
that was
never
that
happened. That has
hasn't
never been
happened.
paid. Shame
Exactly.
on.
So can you give us a preview of the E, which is the word that you want to use?
So I have a caption section in my notes. I use my notes a lot,
Okay, like a
but
rapper.
yeah, kind of, sort of. But the captions happen, you know, like they're from life, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So like leading up until the next caption, like life occurs. So for example, the ping pong tournament occurred, so there could be something in there, this interview. Obviously, there's a panic game Friday, so something could happen in that game that I
Okay.
don't know yet, where like a line can
E,
be taken
right?
from
E ejection. Oh my God. No, no,
that. Exactly. See, don't say that though. But hey,
no. Escape with the
well,
win. Escape with the win.
exactly,
Escape is
something
good
like
one.
that.
Yeah,
Like
he's more
the word
it was more
escape.
positive thinking than I am.
Yeah, it's because you're Greek. That's why you're trying to.
That's right. Yeah, I'm trying to stir up things right now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. I see what you're doing.
Okay, you got me.
I see what you're doing.
But yeah, it will be interesting to see. The other thing about your Instagram is that you post interactions with locals who sometimes drop bits and pieces of wisdom, local wisdom or not local wisdom, and makes an impression on you. Which one has made you the biggest impression during your travels?
That's probably one of my low-key favorite parts about traveling is meeting people, and the wisdom that that people share with you. I think one of the ones was when I went to it wasn't Bulgaria. It might have been what are the countries around Bulgaria?
Romania,
Romania,
the back, Serbia,
Macedonia.
Macedonia,
Yes, I
Greece.
went to Skopje. That's what it was.
Macedonia.
Thank you. So I went to Skopje, and my tour guide, he was literally just he was an older gentleman, but he was just dropping knowledge as he breathed, and he had no idea. And one of the things he said was, I mean, the one I put, I think, is different than what I said, but it was more along the lines of like, people always say, like, maybe next time, or we'll do it this time. And I think another gentleman from a later caption I did put that, but people always talk about do something now or do something later. You're saying you may never get later. There may never be a next day. It's not telling you to go, and do every single thing on your bucket list day one. But, I think people tend to live a more reserved life. And when you look at things in 20 years, you won't think of the things that you did as much as you would think of, like, damn, I never got to do that. Or damn, I wish I would have done that and I didn't do it because of whatever reason. Like, so try to, if something's within your means, and it obviously won't mess up your life, but like if something's within your means and it's something you want to do and it evokes an emotion in you, whether it's, happy, excitement, maybe it makes you nervous, whatever, you should do that. Also, tangent, I think I read somewhere that from a neuroscience standpoint, nervousness and excitement are the exact same reaction. It just depends what you tell yourself.
Okay.
So your body doesn't know that you're nervous or excited. It's what you tell yourself that you is. Your body does the same reaction regardless,
Indeed.
but you just tell whether I'm excited or nervous. But that's just some food for thought for people listening.
Just like pain and happiness or something like that, like that they are close in our neutral side. So it makes sense in that
Yeah,
aspect.
along those lines, when you like scan the brain, it shows like I'm excited and it lights up certain areas. The same areas lighten up when you say I'm nervous. It's all just a matter of perception. Which is the best thing I learned last year in my European year. I always reflect on what did I learn from that season. Perspective is very important in life. If you take 2 seconds, whatever's going on in your life, and just look at it, just maybe this
From a
way,
different point of view.
change everything.
Sure.
I love the old this is the day message, basically, what the guy in Skopje told you.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's a daily thing, is just do it. Just do
Carpe
it,
diem,
because
right?
you
Carpe
never
diem.
know.
The carpe diem.
Yeah, carpe diem.
Essentially, yes. More simply put, carpe diem.
And what about other cultures or tradition among all your travels? You went everywhere. So.
I know I went so many places. I mean, it's like, this is more like one of those things we meet and we're like, let's say we're on a plane flying somewhere together, or we're somewhere sitting, we can have some coffee. I don't drink coffee, but maybe you do, but I'll have green tea and honey, and then we can talk about it. But each culture is different, which is like great. And this is like the crazy part of being in Europe. Like in America, I can fly 3 hours and I'll still be speaking English, and I'll still be eating the
Right.
same food, and I'll still be looking at the same people, and I'll still
Same
be
drive-through,
wearing the
same.
same clothes, same drive-through. But here you can fly an hour and be not even see what, not even understand what you're reading. That's how I was. I went to Georgia and Tbilisi. And also, that was also one of my most heartwarming reactions, was the man was telling me about a death. I think it was him. He said he was like dying, and he was explaining to me like how like he's really been trying to like enjoy and live in the moments and everything. And it was a guy's birthday. It was a taxi driver's birthday, and he became my tour guide, and he was taking me around, and he wouldn't let me buy him a birthday cake. He was the nicest man ever. I hope he's doing well, because honestly, he said he was, his days were numbered. I said, why are you driving me around on your birthday? Like, go be with your family. I tried to give him money to take off. He wouldn't do it. He just really like wanted to work because he didn't want to like sit around and sulk. But it's I hope that guy's doing okay.
Man,
But
I'm so impressed right now. You should sell these ideas to a good script writer, a good producer. I mean, seriously, how awesome a movie would that be? A trip
it
of
really is
time
like a movie
in
though
a
with those
foreign country.
guys.
It is
You
like a
don't
movie.
really.
It is like a movie made in this kind of countries. It is like a movie made in the Balkans or Iran. Some of the directors that these countries produce, this kind of a kind of a road movie that there are two people on a car in a car and have discussions about life, and one may be in trouble or something. It's wow.
That's how it was. Like honestly, like I wish I was making it up so the man was like okay, but like I was trying to get a taxi and then I said, "Oh, I want to go here next." And the guy was like, "Okay." And then his English was okay and my Russian was so-so. Like I don't know Russian at all, but I know enough Serbian to like and Croatian to like act like I know Russian and like at least bridge a little bit of a gap between us.
Okay.
But he just was like, "Yeah, like I'll take you around and I'll drive you around." And I was like, "Well, here's the list the hotel gave me of places I should see before I go." And he was driving me around. And, obviously, you get deeper in the conversation, a couple Google translates here and there. And then you find out the man's dying and it's his birthday and
Wow.
he's worried about it. He showed me pictures of his son. He called his son. And it was like, man, and, you get out the taxi and you're just like, you like enjoyed the day, but like you're a little sad. Like, damn.
Yeah,
Like this man
wow.
just spent his birthday with me and he may not see his next one. You know what I'm saying? Like how
Wow.
that would make you feel to like be with a stranger who's like
I can't even picture it. I can't even imagine how that make me feel. Like I can't even try to get what you felt at that moment when you realized the situation.
It's kind of sad. Like crying in movies isn't a thing, but this is real life. So like it's kind of sad though, like it's like someone's birthday and he for sure is not going to see his next one. And he's spending like half his day driving you around, and I'm just here like gallivanting around Tbilisi, Georgia, like, oh, take pictures, blah 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 blah. And he's like
But you know
waiting on me.
what? You know what? Like, that's experience for him as well. Like,
True.
if you see it as a different perspective, as you told us, can be, right?
You're correct. No, for sure. Like I said, that's what he said. He didn't want to sulk around and on his birthday and have everyone feel sorry for him. So I was like, all right, I'll stop. Here's my buddy.
There
Oh,
he is. There
hi.
he is. And I was
Hi.
wondering when he would make his guest appearance.
Ela
Okay, are you teaching him Greek? That's very good of you. That's very good. So
You think
speaking of
so?
Greek, I have to ask it, who coined the term bald eagle for Nick?
Oh, Nick had that probably when I was still in elementary school. I don't know when he got the name Bald Eagle, but
Really? I completely missed that apparently because the first time elementary school he wasn't bald. He wasn't bald back then. Okay, relax.
he
He had hair. He had hair at some point in his life. He had hair. Trust me. He wasn't.
No, I don't know when he got Bald Eagle. I mean, when I got to Barcelona, it was the first time I played with Nick. Obviously, he was bald then, and he was like the bald eagle, baby. So like before Barca, I'm sure, and whenever he went bald, I guess is when it came. But yeah, he goes by the bald eagle, and I always tell people greatest point guard in European history. I love playing with Nick. Nick is responsible for like one of the assistant coaches, Erdem, did the numbers for me. I think like 45 to 55, something like that, percent of my points last year were from assists from Nick. So
Oh yeah, wow.
I
So that's
love
why
him.
you're saying good things for him. Okay, we got
Yes,
that.
Nick's my
We got
guy.
that.
And off the court, Nick's a tremendous guy. He's an older veteran, NBA, EuroLeague, won his EuroLeagues. And, he always is like looking out for everyone. He's always trying to make sure everyone's good. He's always paying for things when he doesn't need to, making sure everyone's happy, make sure everyone, like, my friends come and they're like, "Man, Nick's amazing." Nick walk up to your friend was like, "My boy, what's up?" And then my friends are like, "Oh, Nick's cool." I was like, "Yeah, bro, Nick's great." So no, he's fantastic. But yes, he's the bald eagle. But I have seen Nick. He showed me a picture from prom when he had hair and he spiked it too. I was like, "Nick, I'll be honest with you. You look much better bald." Some people look good bald. Nick is one of those people that look good bald.
There's a whole parade of great European guards who were bald in their prime. Spanoulis, Nick, they were all bald.
Bald. This may be something you need. He's basically like European Jason Kidd. I'm telling you.
Jesus. Okay, we need to wrap this up with a special question for you. We really need to answer for you to answer this one, if you can.
So picture this. As you said, green tea and honey, right? You don't like
Yes,
coffee.
green tea and honey.
So green tea and honey. You are in a table with some seats, and you have to occupy them with some guests talking about life, philosophy, experiences, travels, and you have to pick basketball people. Let's say three or four people. Who are your choices?
I have to talk basketball with three or four people.
No,
Just
you
all
have to.
the conversation.
No, like these have to be basketball people, like players, coaches,
Okay.
but you can talk whatever. You can talk life, you can talk you
With
know.
D. Okay. You said pick three people.
Yeah, three. Three is the perfect
Okay.
number, so.
Okay. I'm gonna add a fourth.
Okay.
So that way it's five, because there's five people on a basketball
Five
court. So
people. It's
myself is
okay.
gonna be in chair one. Chair two would be Kobe. Chair three would be John Wooden.
Okay.
Fun fact for those, that's the first book I was ever given and read by my fourth grade teacher, Larry Donahue. Because he knew I played basketball, he gave me the book about John Wooden. And one of the first lessons I learned was John Wooden would have the players, like, he started from the basics of, like, this is how you put on a sock so you don't get a blister. And
Oh.
I make sure I put on my socks. So when I look at guys' feet, I go, oh my gosh, does that not hurt? So you don't put your socks on right. Simple. John Wooden talked about that. Why do you think Kareem's so great? Because he put his socks on the right way. So that's three, and one or two more would be maybe, let me see, maybe should I pick a coach then? No, I did pick a coach, John Wooden. Feel like be good, like the like someone who is really like close around. No, he's not. That doesn't count as a basketball player coach, you said. Who's a European? Let me pick a European.
Bold people are allowed, just to frame this.
That's the obvious answer. So
No, if I bring Nick, that's because Nick's paying for dinner.
the table.
No, it means
Okay.
a cheap date, man. He's gonna try to get it out of the bill for
But we
sure.
need to hear the two more names.
Okay, so Kobe, John Wooden. Who else would be a good basketball mind? To talk life with, who else said? Kareem,
Okay.
because I could learn as much about basketball and his influence off the court as well is tremendous.
For
And then the
sure.
fourth person I would pick is not a basketball player, but it's my mother's mom, which is Ruby Hamilton. I've never met her. I was like 2 years old, but I don't have any memories of her. And it's something
Okay.
that it upsets my mom a little bit, because I don't have any memories of her mother, which is why she's so insistent on me having grandchildren, so that way they can know her and have memories of her. So yes, Kobe, John Wooden, Kareem, and my maternal grandmother Ruby would be at my dinner table.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
Nigel, thank you so much for this. It was great. It was everything we hoped for, to be honest, from every aspect.
Well, thank you so much. Sly's happy to be here too. He's purring now. Say something to him.
What's his
Anytime,
name?
please.
Oh, come on.
Sly. He has a nice little chain on
Hey,
too.
Gatte,
Come here.
do you know
Come
how
here.
cat, do you know how you say cat in Greek?
Is it like
I said Gatte. It's the male cat, the to call her the main cat. If we talked about a female cat, I would say gata. But yeah,
Yeah, I'm trying to.
he's a beautiful gatos. He's a
He
gatos.
is, isn't he, though? Like,
He's
come
gorgeous. He's gorgeous.
on.
And he doesn't, obviously, he doesn't give a crap about us because he's a beautiful cat.
Because
So
he's a
he doesn't
cat.
care about anything.
Yeah. I would learn better Greek, but Yorgos is a terrible teacher. Last year I had Kostas Antetokounmpo, and he was a great teacher and he helped me a lot. This year Yorgos is he's horrible.
Is Maurizio a good Italian teacher?
Oh yeah, no. Mauricio's great. Yeah. I
Yes.
do. If I played in Milan, like I'd be fluent in 2 months, by the way. I just want you to know. People underestimate my Italian, but like as you see from my Instagram, I've been to Rome and Naples. And I get by, and people are looking at me like, "Are you fluent?" I go, "No, but don't
I'll
start
text
asking me too
you.
much stuff."
I'll text you when we start Europe's Italy, so that we make a whole one
Perfect.
in Italian.
You're starting a Euro Hoops Italy?
No. That's just a
When we
hope.
do,
That's just a hope.
you'll be our first blogger in Italian, hopefully.
Wonderful.
And anyway, Nigel, again, we appreciated this. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to hear your thoughts about basketball, travels, experiences, and how you're living and appreciating your life, and what taking the maximum for what this European basketball experience brings to you on and off the floor.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. A motto I live by is you only have one life, as far as we know. If someone's told you differently, then maybe I'll slow down. But as far as we know, you only get one lap. So you're trying to make it a good one, the best you can.
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
Good luck for the next of the season. Reminder to our viewers and listeners, you can catch up with Nigel and Fenerbahce, of course, this Friday. They play the big EuroLeague game at OAKA against Panathinaikos. It will be a delight to watch, regardless if you are Fener fan, Panathinaikos fan, if you like basketball. This will be a hell of a battle from two big teams. So keep it in mind. Nigel,
Yes.
see you in Athens, hopefully.
Efkari sto poli file.
Καλό βράδυ, καλή
Grazie
νύχτα.
mille, mio fratello. Buona notte.
Multilingual. That's it. And Cesare, buonanotte, but we'll talk
Thank
later,
you.
of course, because we have a lot of work to do after this podcast anyway. Enjoy your night, Nigel.
Thank you.
Enjoy your
Thank
cat,
you.
enjoy everything, and see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And to
Ciao.
our viewers and listeners, catch up. You can catch up with us on YouTube, of course, on Spotify and on Apple. And see you again next week with another guest who we can only hope he will be as interesting as Nigel was.
For sure.
Farewell.
Ciao.